So the talk today will be
Talk.
the first in a series of talks on Dogen's Mountains and Waters Sutra, Sanshui Gyo. There are quite a few translations of this seminal piece, and I'll mostly be using a pieced-together collage of Kirill Bielefeld's translation, Ta-Nehisi's, and Heijin Kim's from his Flowers of Emptiness. Dogen's fascicle was written in 1240, 13 years after his return from China. In this particular month, he also wrote Uji, The Time Being, and in the same year, 1240, he wrote five other pieces, including Valley Sounds, Mountain Colors, which I gave Taishowan last year. 1240 was the beginning of an immensely creative writing period for Dogen, which lasted about 5 years when he wrote most of the Shobogenzo. Although the Mountains and Waters Sutra is rather long, it is well worth picking out a few paragraphs or sections that resonate for you and add them to your daily sutra recitation. In places, his words initially may be hard to penetrate, difficult to fathom, but they will in time open, because they are, especially for those of us living in the Northwest, constantly showing themselves. The waters are the Salish Sea at our western door, giving the great shout with swift currents, crashing windswept waves, and smooth mirror bright stillness. And from the other side, the east, there the Selkirk Range, expressing itself endlessly in snow, ponderosa pines, and almost impenetrable silence. For many of us, the Mountains and Waters Sutra is why we live here, and for all of us, it is why we practice. For they are you, though you are not them. Sanswego. San means mountains. Swig means water. And the sense of the word suggests nature itself. Gyo, or Kyo, means Buddhist sutras. Some translated Sanshui Gyo as the sutras of the mountains and waters, but I lean more towards mountains and water sutra, because these very mountains, these waters, are sutra. This is not a sutra about, not a sutra about the mountains and waters, but a sutra by them, as they sit or flow in ways that only they can. The mountains and waters are as themselves, sutra. So as each mountain, as each river, lake, spring, or drop of water presents itself as only it can, there is no need for you to add or subtract anything. And especially there is no need to make them, the mountains, the waters, into a metaphor as stand-ins for anything else. As William Merwin said in an introduction to his book, The Vixen, let the fox simply be a fox. It needn't be some idea that you have conjured. Just let the mountain be that which it is, and let the waters be that which they are. However, the Dogen scholar and Zen teacher Shohaku Akamori said that at the time of Dogen's writing in 1240, he did not live in the mountains, though he was near a river. And therefore, the mountains and rivers in this fascicle were not actual, specific, real mountains and rivers, but metaphor or symbol. Akamora said this is important for understanding Sanshugo, that mountains and waters is a Buddhist expression rather than a reference to real mountains. So that is a perfect jumping off place to look at the text. I say, do not make the mountains and waters into a metaphor. And Nakamura says the opposite. Dogen can be read and understood in many ways. And now you have a chance to find your way as you walk into the mountains and rivers of this place and of this moment. So let me say one other thing, though, before we begin our wandering. In East Asia, mountains are often synonymous with wilderness. In our koan, we've met many ancestors who, after a waking up experience, were either told by their teachers to go to the mountains to cultivate, to integrate, and to clarify the experience, or they went intuitively to the mountains on their own. Mountains, wild though they may be, are a place to settle, to integrate, and to personalize the practice. Again, in East Asia, mountains are expressions of the yang side, the masculine, and waters, the creeks, springs, and lakes, the inside, the feminine. The mountains are thought to be of the wisdom side, the side of Fudo, the immovable wisdom king, and water, the compassion aspect, the side of Kanon or Kuan Yin, the Bodhisattva who watches the waves. The two together, yin and yang, masculine and feminine, wisdom and compassion, create a wholeness, a totality. Embodying both sides creates a Zen practitioner who is mature in expression, whatever that expression may be. So now I'll read you the opening paragraphs of Sanshugo, the Mountains and Water Sutra. Dogen wrote, "The mountains and rivers of this moment are the actualization, the manifestation of the way of the old Buddhas. Each abiding in its own phenomenal expression realizes completeness. Because mountains and waters have been active since the eon of emptiness, they are alive at this moment. because they have been the self since before form arose. They are liberated and realized. So here it is again. The mountains and rivers of this moment are the manifestation of the way of the ancient Buddhas, each abiding in its own phenomenal expression, realizes completeness. Because mountains and waters have been active since the eon of emptiness, they are alive at this moment. Because they have been the self since before form arose, they are liberated and realized. As I said earlier, it would be a good thing to add a few paragraphs from this fascicle to your daily sutra recitation. And this opening paragraph, I think, would be an excellent addition. So the first sentence, the mountains and waters of this moment are the actualization of the way of the old Buddhas. The mountains and waters of this moment, which is no moment at all, are not situated only in a past, future, and present, but in a time and space that is before time and space. The mountains and waters of this moment are not held or tied to before or after. They're not held or tied to being or non-being, or to sacred and profane. Keep in mind that in the weeks before composing the Mountains and Rivers Sutra, Dogen wrote Uji, the time being, and that sense of stationary fluidity is evident throughout this piece. There is cause and effect. And at the very same moment, there is only cause. 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 And the mountains and waters that move within this moment, and this moment, that is no moment, are the manifestation. They are the actualization of the way. There is only one seamless time, one seamless space. These mountains and waters do not come and go, which of course means you and you and you and I do not come and go. As you fully manifest that which you can only be, past, future, and present fall away, and there is only this is really saying far too much. One interesting note here is that the phrase, the actualization of the way, the mountains and waters of this moment are the actualization of the way, is Genjo Koan, Dogen's important piece that we often recite in our sutra recitation. To remind you, though I don't think you need reminding, Dogen wrote in Genjo Koan, to study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be confirmed by the myriad dharmas. To be confirmed by the myriad dharmas is to cast off the body mind of both self and others. The traces of realization come to an end, and this traceless realization is continued endlessly. Genjo Koan, the actualization of the way. And this is no coming, no going. This is no being and non-being. This is no thinking and not thinking. Actually, I don't say that right. It should be not no thinking and not no thinking. This is one seamless time. And this is one seamless space. And this is where we all sit together in the shade under the shadowless tree. And right here, Dogen is pointing to his mind, the timeless mind of vast serenity and ease, rippled with possibility. The potent possibility to improvise in myriad and always shifting conditions. So the mountains and waters of this moment are the actualization of the way, of the great way of the old Buddhas. So who are the old Buddhas? Dogen references a couple old Buddhas in this fascicle. Yunmen, for one. In other places, he talks about the old Buddhas, Dongshan, Zhaozhou, Yakkajo, among others. But whenever I see the word old, the old Buddhas, I'm reminded of Eiken Roshi's words in the first section of his Zen Wave. He was commenting on Basho's possibly most famous haiku, The Old Pond, which goes like this. The old pond, a frog jumps in, the sound of water. Roshi wrote the first line is simply the old pond. This sets the scene. A large, perhaps overgrown lily pond at the edge of a garden somewhere. We may imagine the edges are quite mossy and probably broken down, with the frog as our cue. We guess that it is twilight in late spring. And Roshi continues writing, saying, this setting of time and place needs to be established. But there is more. Old. Old is also a cue word of another sort. For a poet such as Basho, and I think we can include Dogen here. But for Basho, an evening beside a mossy pond is ancient indeed. This all presents the fact of timelessness, of endlessness, of serenity laced with potency. So Dogen isn't only pointing to Yunmen, Zhaozhou and Dongshan. He isn't only referencing Mahakashapa, Shakyamuni Buddha, and the ancient seven Buddhas of antiquity. He is pointing, and he is expressing, and in his writing, manifesting the old, which is before Buddhas and devils. The old, which is before sentient and insentient. The old, even before the many previous Big Bangs. is old as before even the eons of emptiness. So very old indeed. And the mountains and rivers of this moment are the manifestation that, the manifestation of even before the eons of emptiness. And all of that, that manifestation and actualization, is available to us in Zazen. That is Zazen when we simply avoid picking and choosing with the I that separates into I and you, us and them, mine and yours. That is the picking and choosing to let go of, to abandon, or if necessary, to cut off. Now, this is the next sentence. Dogen wrote, "Each abiding in its own phenomenal expression realizes completeness." Heijin Kim translates this line as, "Each abides in its own unique Dharma situation." Other translations say unique Dharma position. These respective translations give a true sense of what Dogen is writing. Each, the Selkirk Mountains, the Spokane River, the Salish Sea, each, the clouds whizzing across the Komokulshan Flat's sulfur spewing top, each, the bell, the incense, the clappers, each, you and you and you and me, occupies its own unique form and circumstance. And each, when fully exhausting itself as that, realizes completion. And as I just said, that includes you and you and you and me. Yet it is for us individually to realize and to experience that truth. But ultimately, whether you realize it or not, the completeness of your circumstance, your completeness, is not hindered or blocked. You are still radiating the great light. The situation is still infused with the brightness. But as I just said, that is for you to realize and to experience. And you do that by entering that sense of hindrance, that sense of blocked, that sense of insufficiency. Earlier, I read you five or six lines from the Genjo Koan. To study the Buddha way is to study the self, and so on. Later, Dogen wrote in that same piece, "If the Dharma has not yet fully come into your body mind, you think it is already sufficient. On the other hand, if the Dharma fills your body mind, there is a sense of insufficiency. So if you feel blocked or hindered or insufficient, that is okay. Actually, it is more than okay. All you need do is inhabit or embody that feeling, that sense. Inhabit that thought 100%. And then let it go. If it persists, as it will, Just allow it fully and then let it go. Both the inhabiting and the letting go is your unique position in the ever-changing, unfolding, never to be fully known universe. This is simply the way of closed hand, open hand. This is simply the way of in-breath, out-breath. This is simply the way of low tide, high tide, summer solstice, winter solstice. And even if you try to avoid your own completeness, it wouldn't be affected by that. It is, you are. The mountains and waters are already before even the eons of emptiness.